the way we got started, I mean, like, you know, Mike started AnchorWave back in 2003 as a web design business, locally focused here in Tucson, Arizona. And if you think back to that time, you know, he always says number one search engine was Yahoo at the time. There was no Facebook, there was no YouTube, right? And so he was basically just trying to convince businesses to build a website. And we did a lot of those. And, you know, I was working at the time at Intuit in the corporate world, managing the online communities for sites like QuickBooks and Quicken and TurboTax. And, you know, I felt like a really small, you know, sprocket of a big machine, right? And I didn't quite understand how the things that I was doing was really having an impact on anything, the world or anything, right? And so it was super hard for me to feel rewarded by the work that I was doing. And, you know, I joined AnchorWave in 2008 to help Mike really build out the digital marketing side of our business. You know, he'd been doing websites for so long, but people are at the point where they're like, look, I built this website. Now what the heck do I do with it, right? Like, and so we were able to come in and start to develop things like SEO and Facebook ad, pay-per-click campaigns, and all those other things that we've added on top of AnchorWave over time. And we spent a lot of time figuring out, you know, a lot of different things and went in a lot of wrong directions and almost put ourselves out of business a couple times and, you know, always bounced back and, you know, finally got to the point where we really felt like we slayed all the dragons. We had this machine that was working. We had a great team behind us. Mike and I weren't getting pulled in all the time. And, you know, we decided that it was time to start to look at our next adventure, right? And figure out where we could grow next. And so in 2017, we started our expert business agency coach, where we coach other agencies just like ours all over the world and give them the shortcuts that we never had, right? And, you know, tell them, don't go down that path. It's a dead end, or there's a cliff over there, you know, go this way instead, and can hopefully shortcut the amount of time it takes them to achieve the success that we've had. So in 2017, we started that agency coach. When we first started it, man, we really were thinking about the course we wanted to create there. And our first attempt at that was like, not good. We wanted to download everything in our head into this course. And it just seemed like super tough, super heavy. Like we couldn't get through it. And we finally decided, like, you know, this isn't working. Like, what's the one thing that we could teach that's working the best in our business right now, and that we know that most agencies could add and really make a difference? And at that time, it was review and reputation management, helping businesses get 5-star reviews on sites like Google and Facebook and so forth. So, you know, if you had an agency, you could just bolt that on, because most agencies weren't doing that. They're focused on SEO and websites and pay-per-click and so forth. And if you were new to the digital world or agency space, that's a perfect first step for you to get started, right? Mm-hmm. And at that time, we started that with a webinar that we ran for a year and a half live every single week. Mike did that. And that was at the advice of our mentor, Russell Brunson, who at the time said, look, if you guys want to get a 2 Comma Club award, which is an award for hitting $1 million with a single funnel, is I'll do the webinar live for a year and you'll hit it. And it ended up taking us, what, 13 months, I think, get there. Yeah. 14.
Yeah. 14. He was wrong, but we weren't mad about it.
We were a little slow. It took us a couple extra months, but, you know, at that time we were still doing the agency too. I searched all over the world, struggling to find it. Then I met my boy, David E. Simons. Yeah, I searched all over the world, struggling to find it. Then I met my boy, David E. Simons, yeah. Discover my gift, yeah, yeah. Discover my gift, yeah, yeah. With David E. Simons, yeah. Discover my gift, yeah, yeah. Discover my gift, yeah, yeah. With David E. Simons, yeah.
Welcome to another episode of How I Discovered My Gift with yours truly, David D. Simons. I'm excited to have these two brothers on the show here today. Mike and AJ are business partners, multiple 2 Comma Club award winners. If you don't know what that means, you're going to learn what that means in a moment. They're founders of the award-winning digital marketing agency AnchorWave, co-founders of Agency Coach, and co-creators of Funnel Hub. Mike started the agency in 2003. Man, that's an OG in the game. 2003, when digital marketing was in its infancy. His vision of the future turned into a thriving multi-million dollar company, 20-member agency, and has built over 2,000 websites and hundreds of digital marketing campaigns. In 2017, they both felt the call to teach and launched Agency Coach to coach other agency owners on how to achieve time and financial freedom based on Anchor Wave's business model. The motto is own your own agency, own your life. Man, I love that. We all need that. Thousands of agency owners now own their life after following the blueprint of Anchor Wave. With freedom comes the space to invent. Man, I can't wait. I can't wait for this to really dive in here, guys. But in 2019, Anchor Wave invented Funnel Hub, which, if you haven't heard, is just shaking the whole industry. They're doing some amazing things, and it's a must-have tool for funnel builders that was recently launched on the ClickFunnels 2.0 platform. So, Mike and AJ, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
David, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, we're super excited to hop on here and talk to you today.
Absolutely. So I like to start, just take us through the journey, right? People see the success, see where you guys are today. But I like to go in the journey. You could, however you guys want to tackle this, individually go into your journeys, and then or corporately go into your journey. But like, how what's the journey been?
It's been bumpy and fun and awesome and terrible and all things, right? And I think that's what's cool about business and entrepreneurship. It's like, you know, AJ says all the time, he's like, it's one of the purest forms of personal development, and he ain't wrong about that.
100%. Yeah, your business will only ever grow to the level of you, right? And you're going to always be the bottleneck in it. And so you've got to always be growing. You've got to always be learning. You've got to always be, you know, getting those lessons that you need to take yourself to the next level.
Truth. So
yeah. So the way we got started, I mean, like, you know, Mike started Anchor Wave back in 2003 as a web design business, locally focused here in Tucson, Arizona. And if you think back to that time, you know, he always says number one search engine was Yahoo at the time. There was no Facebook, there was no YouTube, right? And so he was basically just trying to convince businesses to build a website. And we did a lot of those. And, you know, I was working at the time at Intuit in the corporate world, managing the online communities for sites like QuickBooks and Quicken and TurboTax. And, you know, I felt like a really small, you know, sprocket of a big machine, right? And I didn't quite understand how the things that I was doing was really having an impact on anything, the world or anything, right? And so it was super hard for me to feel rewarded by the work that I was doing. And, you know, I joined Anchor Wave in 2008 to help Mike really build out the digital marketing side of our business. You know, he'd been doing websites for so long, but people are at the point where they're like, look, I built this website, now what the heck do I do with it, right? Like, and so we were able to come in and start to develop things like SEO and Facebook ads, pay-per-click campaigns, and all those other things that we've added on top of Anchor Wave over time. And we spent a lot of time figuring out, you know, a lot of different things, and went in a lot of wrong directions, and almost put ourselves out of business a couple times, and, you know, always bounced back. And, you know, finally got to the point where we really felt like we slayed all the dragons. We had this machine that was working. We had a great team behind us. Mike and I weren't getting pulled in all the time. And, you know, we decided that it was time to start to look at our next adventure, right? And figure out where we could grow next. And so in 2017, we started our expert business, Agency Coach, where we coach other agencies just like ours all over the world, and give them the shortcuts that we never had, right? And, you know, tell them, don't go down that path. It's a dead end, or there's a cliff over there, you know, go this way instead, and can hopefully shortcut the amount of time it takes them to achieve the success that we've had. So in 2017, we started that Agency Coach. When we first started it, man, we really were thinking about the course we wanted to create there. And our first attempt at that was like, not good. We wanted to download like everything in our head into this course. And it just seemed like super tough, super heavy. Like we couldn't get through it. And we finally decided, like, you know, this isn't working. Like, what's the one thing that we could teach that's working the best in our business right now, and that we know that most agencies could add and really make a difference. And at that time, it was review and reputation management, helping businesses get 5-star reviews on sites like Google and Facebook and so forth. So, you know, if you had an agency, you could just bolt that on, because most agencies weren't doing that. They're focused on SEO and websites and pay-per-click and so forth. And if you were new to the digital world or an agency space, that's the perfect first step for you to get started, right? Mm-hmm. And at that time, we started that with a webinar that we ran for a year and a half live every single week. Mike did that. And that was at the advice of our mentor, Russell Brunson, who at the time said, look, if you guys want to get a 2 Comma Club award, which is an award for hitting $1 million with a single funnel, is I'll do a webinar live for a year and you'll hit it. And it ended up taking us, what, 13 months, I think, to get there. 14.
Yeah. 14. We weren't, but we were, you know, he was wrong, but we weren't mad about it.
we were a little slow. It took us a couple extra months, but you know, at that time we were still doing the agency too, though. Mm. You know, we had kind of 1 foot in here, 1 foot in here, which is usually kind of how that starts. And you know, in 2020, when the pandemic hit, you know, Mike and I were kind of at home, and that was a weird time for everybody, right? And just trying to reinvent yourself and figure out what you want to do and what comes next. And I remember, you know, we were feeling like not a lot of people were calling us every day for like help and advice. Like when we were in the office, guess what? People were knocking at our door every day. I have this client, I have this, right? But like all of a sudden when we weren't there, it's not like we were getting the phone calls, right? We weren't getting those same taps. And we're like, I think this thing's running pretty well, like without us, right? Like maybe we can step both feet over here. And we had our vice president at the time, Lily Darling, who's a total rock star. We felt like, man, let's just promote her to CEO and let's do this coaching thing. And that's what we did. And that's where we're at today, man. So I know that's a long answer, but that's kind of the story of how we got from 2003, Mike busting out some HTML code, to an agency with 20 plus people, to now agency coach, which has helped thousands and thousands of agencies all over the world to grow and scale their business.
That's amazing. Amazing. What a journey. When you think about each of you, and I always admire partnerships, because there's strengths, weaknesses, and things that get covered. So would you say for each of you, what is your most dominant gift?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, what's cool about AJ and I working together is we kind of have this system where, like, we each come to the, like, cause we're both fairly visionary type people, which, like, usually you hear stories like you can't have two visionaries in a company and that's just not going to work. But we've kind of worked out a system where, we have kind of like a secret language, right? And so when we come up with ideas about things, cause sometimes we'll get like, yeah, we should do it this way, or we should do this, or we go this direction or that direction. And a lot of times we're just exploring the limits of what's possible. And like, if it's a bad day, sometimes I'm like, we should blow it up. And like, he knows that I'm not like serious about that. And there's those, you know, if you think of a pendulum swinging back and forth, there's those extremes,
right?
And oftentimes the right answer is the one kind of in the middle. And so the code language that we've come up with is like mentioning how serious we feel about that, or strongly, you know, and how strongly we feel about something. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm giving him an idea, I'm like, I don't feel strongly about that. Like it took us a minute to figure that out, because we didn't know that at first. We're like, well, he's saying that. Well, he must really feel, if he wouldn't say it unless he didn't mean it.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, hey, I think we should go this direction. And he'll ask me, well, do you feel really strongly about that? Because I don't think that's the right move. Mm-hmm. And I'll either say yes or no, right? Mm-hmm. I do feel strongly about it. And then we can have that discussion. Mm-hmm. And that's been something where we've been able to put that together in a way that has allowed us to work, you know, two visionaries in a space, and understand where we're at. Now, that being said, like, we each have things that we're drawn to and excited and passionate about. We tend to fall in different zones or areas, but there is, when, especially when there's that crossover, and when it comes to like the direction and the philosophies by which we operate, that's really served as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain things where typical, like, I love spreadsheets. He doesn't like them, right? He likes presentations and documents and visual stuff. And I like numbers and like projecting stuff. And so there's definitely a balance that way, you know, that we can share some of the responsibilities in a different way and kind of own that and translate that for one another. But beyond that, like, we are both able to get our hands dirty and do stuff. You know, I was building websites myself before I joined there and tried to start my own company doing that. And so we both come from like a I think we both have the skill set of being somewhat technical, like where we can get there and there, understand how to do stuff and it'd be dangerous with that, but then can also translate that in a way that makes sense to everybody too, right?
Amazing. Amazing. I love it. Well, that's cool. I mean, like you guys are saying, it's you guys like cover each other, right? There's like anything that's needed, it's covered, but you're both skill set. You both have the skill set, so you can fill in for whatever one needs.
Yeah.
So I know I can just picture agency owners in my head asking me questions to ask you, right? knowing my fellow agency owners, being an agency owner myself, you know, taking a business to a 20-member agency, that is no joke. That requires a lot of systems and organization. We're a team of seven right now, so I know what it's taken to get here. What has been the journey to build the, and I know you guys are no longer like focused on agents, but I just know agency owners are going to ask these questions. What was the journey to kind of like scale that scaling process, right? Going from like, think about the person that's listening to this is like, I run everything. I run the ads. I handle the sales calls. I handle the websites. I handle this SEO, and I'm trying to juggle everything and manage multiple contractors. How do I go from that to where you guys are?
Yeah, great question. You know, there's different phases and cycles that agencies go through, right? And you've named a couple of them, right? There's the person who is doing it and everything's on their shoulders, right? You know, I used to joke that, like, I build the websites and I mop the floors. Like, I'm doing everything, right? And it was true. I did mop the floors. I did take out the trash, right? And I was also responsible for everything else. There's the agencies who are doing this on the side, right? That they haven't yet left their 9 to 5 or whatever they're doing. And they're coming into a space where they're having to juggle a job and doing this. There's agencies who they're doing it on their own, but they maybe have some contractors that they're working with. They're trying to figure it out. Finally figured out there's like some things that they can start to delegate. And then from there, it scales of either more, you know, W-2 employees or more contractors, and they have, you know, payroll happening every 2 weeks. And, you know, whether they like it or not, like, those folks need to get paid, and there's responsibilities, and those people have families and goals of their own, and they want to buy homes and they want to be successful, right? And so there's all these different phases. But I think that, you know, if I look at the common thread that unlocks your ability to move from stage to stage, and it's what's unlocked it for us, is our ability to create recurring revenue and build and stack that every single month. Mm. You know, there was times in our agency where, you know, we were focused on what we call grand slam projects. And, you know, probably the agencies out there hear that and probably have a sense of what that means if you've never heard it described this way before, right? Grand slam project is one of those projects where it's a big client. It's like an amazing deal. You want to work with them so bad. And like, it's this big project and they're going to stroke this amazing check. Mm-hmm. And that thing comes in and your focus is all in on this thing. And the best thing happens is you sign the deal and you're so excited, you get paid and you do the work. And then a few months later, the money's gone, the client's done. And you're like, well, what do I do next? Right. And this is exactly what happened to us with a local casino, right?
Yeah. 100%. I'd been chasing after, I was always chasing big whales, right? Cause I'm always trying to best my best. And I was in the sales side of things for a while. And I thought I needed to get there by going after bigger and bigger contracts, right? And I know when I landed that casino, I was like, man, so excited. It was actually at the end of like a November, I remember. And I was just like, man, this is like the biggest site we've ever done. And you know, it was like a six-figure type of deal. And I'm like, this is going to solve all our problems. And we're going to pay off all our stuff. And we're going to have money in the bank and all these things. And you know, it didn't take long for a couple of things to happen. One, like December 1st hit and I'm like, well, that was the best month we've ever had, but like, how am I going to make December a good month too? Because I can't go find another casino anywhere close by, at least not here in Tucson, right? And there's nobody else in my pipeline that was there anywhere close to that. And so just that defeated feeling of like, where am I going to get another one of those? I knew I couldn't best my best that next month, and that felt defeating. But then also a few months down the road, like Mike said, feeling again like, we're not in any better of a place, right? Like, we hired additional resources to help us with this thing. It was a bigger project and we wanted to make it good and we got extra talent, and like all that was gone and we're right back in the same spot we were. And I remember going to our accountant and asking, like, what the heck happened? Like, how did we burn through that money? Because like, we're right back where we were before November. And there was a couple of reports that she ran that were super insightful. One of them was like our top 20 clients for the last 5 years. And she ran that report, she shared it with me, and I was like, totally thought this casino is gonna be number one. It barely made the top 20, barely made the top 20. You know who's at the top? Was this dentist that was paying us $2,000 a month for the last 3 years. It was the, you know, HVAC company that's paying us $2,000 for the last 3 years, right? There's all these other businesses that weren't at the top of my mind as like being top clients for us, but they were just clients that were paying us every month for a long period of time. And guess what, man? That like, it was kind of like a sense of relief, because I'm like, I could go find a bunch more of those, right? Those are all over the place, right? And it's completely changed our mindset from going after those big one-time projects to really putting all of our focus and emphasis on the things that we sell that are recurring in nature, right? Where I can bring somebody on and get paid forever instead of just these things that were just kind of like a revolving door. It felt really good for a second, and I got a big commission check, excited about that. But you know what felt really good is when we built our recurring revenue to a point where I go in on the first day of the month, all of our expenses are paid, all of our bills are paid, you know, we're both making money. Not another single sale needs to happen for us to feel good, because then when you're coming from that place, that's when you can start to make really good decisions about how to get help, right? That's how we solve our financial freedom side of the equation. And once you solve that side of the equation, next, it's like, how do I get my time freedom, right? Well, now let me look at the things I'm doing day to day that I don't want to do. Mike didn't want to take out the trash anymore. He didn't want to mop the floor anymore. So at one point he said, you know what? I'm going to hire a cleaning person to come in and do those things, right? And he took off one hat, right? But he's still wearing all these other hats. So then once we get more recurring revenue where we feel really comfortable making that choice to hire somebody else, it's like, okay, what other hat do I want to take off? What other hat do I want to take off? And just realizing that you are wearing all those hats. And like, one of the exercises we did early on was creating an org chart of what this business would look like. It just had all of our name on everything at first, right? Like,
yeah.
And eventually we're just like picking off the things and we're like, cool, let's plug somebody in here. Let's plug somebody in here. And eventually we took off all the hats. The other thing that I'll mention, because I think it's really important part of this conversation, is there was a time where Mike and I were super excited to just keep throwing more and more bodies at this, right? Like, you know, we would hire people, we'd make more money, we'd hire people, make more money, hire people. And like, our top line's going through the roof, but our bottom line's not really growing the same way. And we used to joke around and be like, man, we're gonna have a 100-person agency. It's gonna be like Mad Men over here. I'll be like Don Draper, and it's gonna be the best. We'll have this big building. And we're like going for that. But as soon as we realized it, like, man, you start getting more employees, there's more problems. Like, you know, there's management issues. There's this person that's upset. There's this other issue going on over here. There's these two people are fighting with one another. It's like, there's a lot of other stuff that comes along with that. Not to mention the need for more space. You know, the need for more equipment, the need for all these other things. And what we started realizing is that we didn't need to go out there and hire more people, right? Like, we needed to find partners that we could pay when we needed the help. Because the number one thing that could kill your margin is capacity. And guess what? When I would hire somebody, like, let's say I had a digital marketing coordinator, right, that was doing a lot of digital marketing work. And I got to a point where that person was so busy, I needed to hire another one. It's not like I had double the customers that next day, right? So now I just completely messed up my entire margin. And, you know, honestly, it was just never in a game where people were constantly topping out, being like, you know, if we can't take on more clients. And then I'd hire a couple people and it felt like people were sitting around and we weren't making money, right? And so the big shift that we made was realizing that the employees that we needed to have were the customer facing people, right? Those are the only ones that we really felt like we needed to be part of our team. Every other person could be a contractor that we could only paid when we had work for them, right? So, you know, we broke down all of our services into the components it took to make them happen. And then we made agreements with people that, like, cool, somebody comes on for SEO, right? I have somebody doing blogs, I have somebody doing citations, I have somebody doing keyword research, I have somebody doing on-site, off-site, and breaking those things into smaller components that then I can just go buy when I need them, right? That's what created a lot more scale in our business and a lot more predictable margins in our business. It's allowed us to continue to grow it, because now one of our digital marketing coordinators can manage 30 people, 40 people instead of 8, because they're not doing the work. They're managing the vendors that are actually doing that stuff.
Wow. Genius. Mm-hmm. I love that. So I actually had a conversation with a fellow agency owner this week, and it's kind of in alignment with, you kind of answered the question already before even me asking, but he asked me the question, hey, I've got $1 million business. I have peace. I can travel. I can do whatever I want. I'm with the family. It's nice. Everybody's eating well. But I also have an ambition in me to grow. I can blow this thing up. But I also see my fellow counterparts when they do that. Now they got to have HR, and they add the HR. And then that's when all the stuff starts to go haywire. So it's like, he asked me, should I try to scale or should I stay where I'm at? What would you guys say to him?
So I think what's really a helpful way of looking at that, I think it's like it comes from Japanese culture, a proverb or something like that, where it's a word called Kaizen. It means continual improvement. A lot of people have heard of that. And another way to look at it is like a tree. Right. If you ever look at a tree stand out there, it is never staying stagnant. It is either growing or it's dying. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think our businesses are the same exact thing. And so my advice to that agency owner would be find the pathway for the rate of growth that you feel good about. Right. And don't be afraid to stretch yourself and do big and important things. Don't allow the fear of what's on the other side of that growth to stop your actions now, because if you're going to allow that to stop you right now, guess what? You're dying, right? And if your business is going to die, guess what? It's time to be out of it, right? That's time. That's when it's time to sell. It's time to let it, let somebody else take on that opportunity and grow it. Mm-hmm. But businesses don't stay the same, right? They're either going to shrink or they're going to grow. Mm-hmm. And to me, it sounds like that's operating out of fear as opposed to operating out of abundance.
That's deep. So speaking of that, right, to build what you guys have built and to do what you've done, not only on the agency side, but also building a coaching business, there's a lot of behind the scenes, the development. So in this show, we cover the discovery of our gifts, the development of it, and the distribution of our gifts. But there's a lot of unseen hours, right? A lot of dark hours, a lot of under the soil growth, the bamboo tree type of things like that you're doing that nobody sees. Could you speak to each of your own personal development? Like you've talked about coaches and mentors and investing in yourselves. Like, what is that? What does it take on a personal development side, on a development side to build the person to be able to do all the things that you guys are able to do?
Yeah. So, I mean, I say a lot that, you know, the business is the purest form of personal development. If you're not working on that, you're definitely going to start to stagnate and die. Right. And you've got to constantly be besting your best. And so tools that I've used and things that happen in the dark, for sure. One book, Miracle Morning, completely changed my life.
Hal Elrod. Yeah.
It's, you know, I was always kind of an early riser, but I can't say I did much that was good during that time, right? I'd kind of just be up or on my phone or whatever. And when I read that book, it completely changed things, because it takes you through a series of things that you should do each morning that really set the rest of your day up for success. You know, when I'm in a good rhythm with Miracle Morning, it's almost like the rest of the day's downhill, right? Like, as soon as I get to work, there's nothing that could happen that day that could knock me down, because I'm already coming in with such power, right? I'm already coming in with such focus, and I just feel good about things. And it's magical the way the rest of that day will go. And so I've done countless mornings of doing that, right? And part of that is meditating and journaling. So I have apps that track the tens of thousands of hours that I've meditated, right? The amount of miles we've run, and, you know, how many books are in our audibles that we've listened to, and all the things that we're doing that maybe other people don't realize, right? Like our journals that have so many things, thoughts written in them. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that's super powerful that we learned in a personal development course that we took was this idea of what's called a compelling story, right? Mm-hmm. And what this is at the beginning of each day, you basically write and describe that day as if it were the end of the day, right? And so you're really kind of future pacing yourself through what's gonna happen that day. So I'd open up my calendar and I'd look at, you know, appointments I have, like maybe I have this sales call and I'm like, cool. I had the sales call, I met with them. They were totally blown away. They're on board. They gave me a credit card on the spot. We signed up, I signed up for this, right? And then I had this meeting with this employee about this issue. I thought it was gonna be bad, but it turned out it was like totally smooth call and like no issues, right? And then something else happened. Then I got home and I played with my son and I made dinner and I had a great time with my family. So you take it all the way through. And man, I'll tell you, like when you're doing that consistently, it's amazing how the day will just match up to whatever you write down there. But you know what? It sounds easy, but that's one of the tougher disciplines to have each day is to actually go through that process, right? And doing that is like really the times when I've been really good at it has changed some of the things for me.
So. Yeah, and if anybody were ever to steal a peek at AJ's diary, they'd be like, wow, this guy has amazing days every single day. He just doesn't fail.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't always work out that way, but be surprised how often it does. I think the only thing I'd add to that, AJ, is like the emphasis on like relying on folks outside of you for help. I mean, you mentioned, David, coaches, right? Mm-hmm. And having mentors and people in your life that have walked the walk and been those places, certainly friends that even haven't, that can be supportive are great, but it's even better to have people who have had those exact same issues and are on the other side of that struggle is huge. You know, it's funny because I think our culture actually teaches us not to do that kind of thing.
True.
And the way that happened, I believe, is that when many of us were in school, right, when the teacher said, hey, time to take out your notebook, we're going to do a little test. And everyone like groaned about it. Oh, no. Right. But then if the next sentence out of that teacher's mouth was, and it's an open book test today, everyone's like, yay. Right. And everyone's like, oh, that's awesome. Like you ask anybody who's spent any time in school, like if they like open book tests, like, yeah, of course. Right. But here's the thing. Life is an open book test,
That's good.
Right? And, but you wouldn't know it because many of us have taught ourselves and convinced ourselves, or schools have taught us and convinced us that we need to know and memorize everything. And it doesn't count. You don't matter. And your accomplishments don't matter unless you've done it on your own. Mm-hmm. And nothing further could be from the truth, right? You know, team sports, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not a sports guy. I was in the marching band, like, and that's a team sport of another flavor. But you know, the field show doesn't happen if everyone doesn't work together to make that happen. And so I think that if you're sitting there, if somebody listening here is like feeling the pressure to perform and do good things, I'd ask you, how many people in your life do you have that you would consider to be a mentor, that not something that you just look up to? And I think that's too, listening to podcasts, and I think list, you know, following people and reading books of people doing that, yes, that's important. How many people could you count that you could say that they, you could ask that mentor, be like, do you mentor this person? Do you help this person? Like, you need to be able to count that and say there's at least one person in your life that is looking out for you and leading you along the way and being a shepherd for you. And then I'd ask you, like, who are you doing that for? Right? We're this big long chain of humanity that's reaching out ahead of us for help and reaching behind us to bring somebody along. And like we need to have those relationships. And it starts with believing that life's an open book test. And that number one is we can receive answers from someone else or something else, right? And we can give answers to those that need it because we have them.
Yes. Love paying for shortcuts. We love shortcuts now. It's like, that's the way to go, right? We don't need to figure it all out.
Absolutely. I mean, you guys brought us on a high there. I'm gonna kind of take us on a little bit low and then we're gonna come back. So low here is, I want you to go back to the darkest moment in agency. It could be the same for each of you. It could be different from each of you. I would love to hear like and how that moment, how that was, because I know there's agency owners going through all kinds of stuff, right? I mean, I know there's people that maybe are not agency owners. They're thinking about coming into this space, and they kind of have a pie in the sky perspective of what's reality. And I kind of want you to give them a humble pie, but show them how you can go through something and then come back out, and how you guys, because I know you, I know we all have them. We all have these stories, but like, yeah, like a really tough one and how you got through it.
Yeah. Mike wanted to get rid of the business and just get a hot dog cart a couple of times because he's like, that sounds so much easier, right? What's the worst thing that can happen? They don't like the hot dog. You're $2 back, right? Right. It's like a simple business.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, like there are continually seasons of tough stuff that happens. And I think that's one thing to recognize. And honestly, like I continually battle with this is like, we go through a tough season and I'm like, this is it. This is the end. This is the end of me. This one's going to kill me. Right. But if I look back, I'm like, every single thing that's been bad, like has had some silver lining or positive thing. And right. Like, it's easy to say that after the fact, and it's hard as hell to do that while you're going through it. And I think, you know, there's different phases. You know, if I think about before, we were talking about the different phases of agencies, right? And each one of those had a key pivotal moments. Like when I was first getting started, me getting out there and speaking to another person about what I did was like horrible, and I hated it, and I felt awkward. And I was, you know, about 20 years old, and I felt like I was like this kid among all these like grown ass adults. And I'm like, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. The only thing that kept me going was the idea that like I knew something about this technology that many of them didn't. So like, you know, thankfully, right? Because if I was like an insurance guy, I'd be like, what does this 20-year-old insurance guy have to say about the guy who's been in it twice as long, right? Or twice as old as me. But I think like probably the most like pivotal part of the journey for me was at one point discovered that there was a handful of our employees that were working to start their own business, competing business. And that's like, for the record, like I love it when people that work for us decide to go into business for themselves. I love it when they, I think it's cool that I could play a stopping point on the road of their success of whatever they're going to do. Right. These guys just so happened to have started that while still working for me, having clients come to the office, I was paying them, they were double dipping. It was like this whole thing. And I was really bent out of shape and really upset about it. And I felt like betrayed by a lot of it.
Understood.
And I had to realize like, well, why did that happen? You know, and it's because I allowed that to happen because I was not leading them. I was not, you know, showing them. And sure, I'm not saying that I'm 100% to blame, but I was a lot to blame for that piece in the journey. And in those times, like, you know, these were my first like set of employees of people that I had hired. And, you know, there were situations where like there was times where I couldn't make payroll, right? And I was trying to figure out how to juggle and make this happen. There was a point where I like let people go, or I'd be like, hey guys, you know how you guys work 5 days a week? Well, we're all gonna work 4 days a week now. And it's not something to celebrate because I'm also not paying you for 5 days anymore. It's 4 days, right? And so those kind of things were, you know, I was taking risks to grow the business, but I also wasn't fulfilling my promise and my end of the bargain with those things. And so it's like there was a lot to learn from that. And
just to put it in perspective, I mean, that was 90% of our production staff. So like what was left was like a couple guys that didn't know how to do all of the work that we needed to do for our clients. So it was a lot of scrambling to figure out how to make that work. But like we knew that's what needed to happen. And we found out more creative ways to get work done.
Yeah,
and
that's the silver lining, right? Yeah. Like there was
that was part of this whole thing of like these what we call leverage service partners of not having to have employees on staff and just having people when we needed them. Right. And so it pushed us into exploring that where we may not have gotten there without that.
Wow.
And I mean, we've always been better for all of those things. Like Mike said, on the other end of it, doesn't necessarily feel that way when you're going through it, but it's nice when you get through it and man, I'll go to war with this guy.
That's what's up.
Yeah. And I think it's like, that's back to your other question. That's the importance of making sure that you're surrounding yourself with people who are doing the same kind of fight, right? And having mentors, because in those situations, it's sure easy to give up, right? It's sure easy to just be, I'm done with this. Or if you don't give up, what's worse than giving up? Because at least if you give up, like you're making a decision to go in a different direction, right? Mm-hmm. That's which I think is a positive thing.
Right.
It's sitting there constantly asking yourself, am I doing the right thing? Should I keep on doing this? And then you're chasing shiny object and back and forth and this way and that way. And you're just chasing your tail, kind of never really making any progress. And that's worse than giving up, right? If that makes sense. So surrounding yourself with those mentors, those coaches who can tell you, hey, listen, you know how many people have told me after I've told them that story, them saying, you know, Mike, that exact same thing happened to me. I'm not joking. Like, there's that's such a this story that we just shared is not a universal one by any stretch of the imagination. I'm sure there's people listening to this right now and be like, yep, been through it, right? And so what's cool about knowing other people have been through it is they can be like, yeah, Mike, you suck. You should have done X, Y, and Z better, but it happens, and sometimes you can't avoid it. So just pick up the learnings, take your whippings, and just go on and just like move on into what's next. And here's what I did with that, and that's what's awesome.
Wow, that's good. That's good. AJ, any story to add, or you were thinking of that same one?
That's probably the big one. I mean, the only other one that I'd add that's pretty significant is, you know, when we started getting into the funnel space, like it was super exciting for us. And we're like, oh, agency's boring and we want to do this. And, you know, we joined Russell's Inner Circle and, you know, we fell into the idea of chasing money, right? And we saw people in there that were making money doing certain things. And we're like, we could totally do that. Like, we have a skill set to do that. And we have the team to do that. And, you know, we decided that we wanted to get heavily into lead generation because there was somebody in our group that was just like crushing it with that. And, you know, I won't go through the whole story, but we went through a period of time where we grew really fast with that. We went from like 0 to 200 clients in a couple months and everything was gangbusters. We were creating leads for $3 on Facebook and selling them for $35. And we're like, dang, this is it. Like, we made it. This is going to, we're done. Right. And it was in the real estate space. And then December hit and those $3 leads turned into $150 leads, but we weren't really keeping a pulse on it like that good. Right. Like, we were running end of month reports, but like, we weren't running day to day reports. And we get to the end of December. It's like, dude, we spent all the money plus some, and we don't have the leads. And we're like guaranteeing leads to these people. So we put ourselves in multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt, refunding people, overpaying for leads that we got this much. And we ended up paying way more for, and man, that was probably one of the lowest points ever. Is just like, man, that we went from way up here to way down here. Then we go back to the agency. And because we've been neglecting the agency for 3 months, guess what? Like Mike said, if it's not growing, it's dying. That thing wasn't singing along either, right? And we kind of, that's what was paying all the bills for us to go off here and do these other things. And we've been ignoring it and neglecting it. And at that time, it wasn't at the point where we could just hand things off, right? We were still wearing a lot of the hats. We had just not been doing those things because we're over here focused on this new shiny object and high-fiving and being like, we don't even need that thing anymore. We got this thing over here and it's going to totally crush. Right. And any business that experiences that type of, you know, loss, like, it's going to hurt, right? And we needed to get back on board and fix the agency. And that's when, again, all the things that we did to get the agency going again and fix it up are all the things that really built a way stronger agency. Because we're like, man, if we can't leave this thing for a couple months without it tanking, like, we don't have a business, right? We own a job. And so we started thinking about, like, what are all the things that should have been put in place so that we could leave for 3 months and it still be singing along, right? And growing. And those are the things we started to innovate and implement. And that's what eventually led to us getting to the point where we're like, cool, this thing can really, like, run without us, like, for real, you know? And so that's how we got to where we're at. And that's exactly the type of things that we teach about to our agency students.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Thank you guys for taking us through that roller coaster right now. Now we're going to go back up because you guys built Agency Coach, but you wouldn't have had, I believe, right? And you correct me if I'm wrong, as much of an impact with what you're doing if you didn't go through all those lows, if you didn't go through, now you're able to, like you said, hey, I went through that too. Agency owners and people that you serve, the students that you serve, you have a breadth of knowledge and experiences that you can pour in. So take me through this ride into the agency coach, right? Like, that's, you know, you guys are, I would say, ahead of the curve, right? Because coaching others in agency, I don't think really was, like, I know it was there, but it wasn't like where it is back in 2017. Like, you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, were you kind of like ahead of the curve by jumping in that way? Because today it's everywhere, but it wasn't then.
Yeah, I mean, we always said, like, we're creating what we wish we had, right? Like, we didn't have those things. We didn't have those resources. We didn't have anybody giving us those shortcuts. And that's really what we're aiming to do. We do see a lot more people that are popping up in this space or that have been here. And one of the things that's frustrating about it is like, one, they either don't own an agency or never did, right? Like, it's like, how the heck are you going to coach anybody about this? You've never done it. Or two, they did, but they owned an agency back in 2008 and they sold it and they're still trying to teach about what made them successful. It's like, look, man, the things that made us successful in 2010, they're not working today, right? And so one of the things we pride ourselves on is the fact that we still own our agency.
There we go.
It's still growing without us, right? And it's still the test bed that we can use to make sure the stuff that we're teaching about actually works. Because without that, it's hard to be an integrity, right? And it's hard for us to go out there in the world and be like, do this and do this and do this when I don't know if those things are working or not, right? And so I do think we're a little bit ahead of the curve, but I do think that we also have that feather in our cap around still owning it, right? Because if you built something that's so great and it's still cash flowing and still growing,
right,
well, you got to get rid of it, right? Like, that's the whole thing that we're trying to teach people is like, look, you can build something that can run without you so that you can go pursue other things like we're doing right now. Beautiful. And whatever that is, maybe that's starting another business. Maybe that's playing more golf. Maybe that's going sailing around the world. Who knows what it is, right? But like, being able to work in your business because you want to versus because you have to are two very different things, right? And so that's what we're trying to create for people in our world.
Wow, beautiful. So say you're speaking to an agency owner that, let's be honest, they're kind of tired, right? It's been a long road. They don't want to get, like, they want to kind of follow the path that you guys have. They kind of want to leave the agency and build it to the point where, not leave, but like, not, they still own it, but they don't have to work in it day to day. They want the agency. Maybe they want to start a coaching business too. What advice would you give to them to, what are some of the pieces, without giving you obviously the secret sauce, and, you know, all of those things, they can, we're going to learn about some of the offerings and the things that you guys have where they can learn more about that. But what would you say to them, some key steps to be able to build that business to where they could build their own coaching business that maybe in another field or something that they're passionate about?
That's cool. Well, the good news, David, is like, we're an open book and there's basically no question we won't answer. And, you know, there's, in my our opinion, there's no such thing as like a secret sauce. It's a lot of hard work and it's a lot of dedication. The cool thing is that we're all different and we attract different people. And, you know, there's more than one social media company out there in the world. And there's plenty of business around it. All is rooted in the idea of abundance, right?
That's right.
And that there's a lot of opportunity for all of us out there. And if an agency out there right now is listening, be like, if these two jokers can go and start a coaching business about their agency, I should be able to do it too. God bless you, right? And we support you in that. And so happy to share. And so, I mean, I think if an agency owner is looking to have a business that runs without them, don't do what we did, which was turn your back on it and go and chase some other thing, hoping that somehow that's going to like make enough money to you know, make up the difference, right? I had a coach that I worked with that he reminded me again and again. He's like, Mike, the way out is through. Like, you can't turn your back and run away. If you want out of this agency and you want to run your own, you have to go through the work, do the thing, to make all the things work, and then you get to have the reward of that, but it doesn't happen any other way. And he was right, and I was running away from it. By us starting these other businesses and doing a lead gen business that we had no business being in and no passion, more importantly, to pursue, was us running away from that. And so the agencies that want to have a business that can run without you, I think the first thing you have to decide is that you want that. Right. And I was fortunate enough to be working with a coach that planted that idea in my mind, even though I didn't think it was possible. Right. I didn't think it was even a remote chance that was going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
But he helped me understand that I needed to act and build my business as if it could run without me, because if I one day want it to, the time to start thinking about that is now.
Right.
Right. You know, I wasn't going to suddenly wake up one day and be like, oh, cool, it's done. Oh, this is a nice happy accident that this thing is working without me. That's not going to happen. Mm. So what's cool is that's what that planted in me, the idea that I should be making decisions as if it's not always going to be me. That served me really well. So AJ talking about the org chart earlier, that's an awesome example of laying out a future vision for what that can be, even though if the current reality is like your name is in every single one of those boxes. Mm. And so what you have to build is you have to create systems and processes in order for that to be a reality. Right. And this is the essence of what we teach inside of our programs. Yeah. You know, we call it the digital agency operating system. Mm-hmm. And it is all about having a system to attract leads into your world, right? A system to activate those leads and get those people to raise their hand and ask you for help, right? Hey, David, can you help me with this thing, right? Getting them to ask you, right? As opposed to the opposite, which is like, I mean, how many of us have like cold called and like just beg, borrow, and steal? Force, and brute force, right? Right. So we need to activate them, right? Then we need to sell and ascend them. So we need to sell them high ticket recurring revenue, right? A system for doing that. And by the way, not just selling them one time, but like upgrading them into all the other stuff you sell them, right? If you follow like Russell Brunson, like vocabulary, he calls it the value ladder, right? How do we get our clients to ascend each step of all the services we offer, right? And then AJ touched on this earlier. The last step is to deliver, right? How do we deliver those services in a way that are profitable that also don't rest on our shoulders? So it's attract, activate, ascend, and deliver. Right. So we have to have each of those four components in check and in place, and wrapped up in there might be team members. It might be, you know, hiring an accountant. It might be like all sorts of other things, but those are the different categories that we have to focus in on. But like I said at the beginning, the first part, the first step of all this is deciding that you want it. Right.
Yeah. I think the one thing that you said is everything on your shoulders, right? I think that's what we see a lot with agencies is that it's the business owners tends to do most of the work too, right? Like imagine if you were a realtor and you had to build every house that you sold. Ooh. You're not going to sell many homes, right? And that's essentially what we do. We go sell a website and guess what? We start building it. That's right. And then we go sell another one and we start building it. And it's like, we got to get out of the habit of doing that, right? And think more like a subcontractor where, hey, I'm the subcontractor, but I've got somebody that's going to do the roofing. Somebody's going to do the flooring. Someone's going to do the electrical. I mean, if you had one person doing all those things, you probably wouldn't even want that house, right? Right. Anyway, and so like, this is not a new idea. Mm. It's just like understanding that, hey, I'm more of a subcontractor and I just need to get this job done, right? Right. And how can I make that happen? Because that's what creates the burnout, right? Is that you are the one selling, then you're the one doing, then you're the one supporting and doing all these things. Like you can never have an agency that runs without you when you're doing all those things. Right. And you know, the other thing that I just mentioned is simplifying, right? We have this thing we call snowflake projects, right? Where it's like, you just say yes to anything anybody asks, right? It doesn't matter like what it is. It's like, they might be small differences. Like I build websites and I build them on WordPress and this guy wants one that's on Squarespace. It's like, fine, I'll do it. And I don't even know how to use Squarespace, but I'll figure it out. It's like, but you know, now you've got this one weird thing over here that nobody knows what to do with, along with all these other things. And like, doesn't just create an issue for you when you first build it. Now you got to support it. Now this plugin over here didn't work. Like, and so when you constantly are saying yes to all these snowflake projects and you don't have your set of services really laid out and what you're willing to do for somebody, then that creates this huge mess, right? This huge mess that makes it super tough for you to delegate anything to anyone because everything's up here, right? All these clients are a little bit different in what you're offering them and what you're delivering. For this one, you are doing copy for the website, even though we've never done that for any other one, but you wanted to close the deal, right? And it's like, all those things add up into like this mess that makes it really hard for you to scale and grow that and delegate and hire people because it's just too complicated of a business, right?
That's good. That's good. Simplify. That's the key. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wow. Wow, guys. This is gold that you're dropping here. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about AnchorWave and Funnel Hub. So tell us about that and that partnership. I remember when I got to meet AJ, I was like, hey, I feel like I've seen you before. And then I saw the ads and I saw Russell and AJ. And so tell us about that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So in a room in, you know, 2016 or something like that, we showed up to Boise, Idaho to go hang out with Russell Brunson, him, us, and a handful of marketers. And we showed up a couple hours early and we did what I think a lot of guys with access to the internet and like there's nobody else in the room would do. We started Googling the names on the name cards on all the tables. Like, who are all of these people that, you know, are supposedly some of the top marketers in the world and business owners? So what was interesting is we found a lot of interesting things about people, right? Like in a lot of cases, we found nothing. Like they were a Digital Ghost. I'm like, how is it that they have these big, big businesses and they can't find them? Or we would find like things that they used to do. Like we'd find out later that they were like a coach for attorneys or something like that. And then, but it looked like online that they used to be a realtor or something like that, something weird. Or we would find like their high end offers, like, hey, it's clear this guy has a $25,000 mastermind we could join, but like, what else do they do? Right. In a lot of cases, you know, we would find their competitors, right? I'm looking for this person, I'd find someone else. And so that was the moment that we found the shadow sales funnel. And what that is someone, it's the footprint that you leave on Google, that, people are looking for you and they can't find what's there. And so what we did is we actually kind of did a study of people in the room and we showed everyone there. We're like, here's what people are looking for and you're not showing up. And it was the moment where Russell Brunson was like, this is crazy. Like,
like it was like their name, mm-hmm. their company name, their product name, right? And they're not anywhere to be found.
Yeah. And so that's what led to us, because they asked us, well, what should we do about this? And we were kind of worried to tell Russell what the answer was because he's the king of funnels. We said, well, you need to build a website that shows all this stuff. And that website that we, in that methodology of how we talked about creating that is what we started to call Funnel Hub. Mm. And you can think of it as this is the thing that should show up when people are looking for you, when doubt and skepticism is at all time high. They just attended one of your webinars and they're like, who the heck is this Mike Schmidt guy? Like, and they're looking for you. And they're even maybe attaching words like scam or ripoff or reviews and things like that, because we want to capture that attention. We want to overcome that doubt and skepticism. We want to put them back into the funnels, right? Funnel Hub being, it's a hub for all your funnels where no matter where someone's at in their buying journey, right? The number one place, like the thing I will never disagree with Russell on is that the funnel is the number one place to turn a lead into a prospect, into a buyer, right? But just because that's true doesn't mean that a website isn't a part of the journey. And so, you know, we went through a process to help him and also a lot of the funnel builder community to understand website's place inside of the whole ecosystem. You know, some people might remember Russell actually ran ad campaigns that declaring the death of a website. He had this like this prospector, this miner, the websites are dead, right? And they threw a funeral for websites, right? And so if you imagine two guys sitting in front of the king of funnels and being like, you're wrong. We were nervous. We actually, when we presented the idea to him, we were worried he was going to kick us out of his group. Like, and what happened was 2 minutes into the presentation where we just like explaining to him really delicately what we were seeing, he's like, I got to stop you guys right now. And like, my heart is like, boom, drops out of my chest. I'm like, this is it. Here comes the smackdown. And he's like, here's what he said. He said, guys, Mike, AJ, I don't know where you're going with this right now, but I feel like I already want to give you money.
Wow.
I'm like,
what? Like I'm kicking him under the table. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. So at the end of that presentation, he's like, I need one. Like, can you do this for me? And we ended up closing a deal with him on the call, which by the way, was not the intention. Wow. That's what led us to be featured in Traffic Secrets. I think we're at secret number 17 in the book. If you check it out, it's what led to us be speaking on stage at Funnel Hacking Live multiple times. And it's been created a great partnership with Russell in that ClickFunnels 2.0. Funnel Hubs is a key component and a big part of his methodology and teaching when he teaches funnels now. So it's like, it's really cool. And it's something that so many expert-driven business people who are in this space, most of them are overlooking it, right? They might have a website, but they need a funnel hub. And that's the difference between success and not. So, cool. Yeah.
Gentlemen, wow. Wow. I do want to respect your time. I do have one final question I always ask. And you guys weren't prepped for this. You didn't know the answer to this or time to prepare for the answer. The question is, and this is to each of you. I'd love to hear each of your responses. Cool. What's the difference between one's gift and one's purpose? One's gift and one's purpose.
Hmm. You're right. I did not prepare for this one. Yeah. I think the purpose is the thing that you keep driving towards no matter what, right? Doesn't matter which way is the wind blowing. Doesn't matter whether you woke up happy or sad. Doesn't matter whether business is currently working or not. It's like the thing that keeps on going. And I think the gift is how you get there.
That's good.
Gift is the piece that like you get to use to achieve your purpose.
I love that.
You know, day in and day out, that's the hammer. That's the tool. That's the the piece that you're using, and you're using it because you're chasing the purpose and trying to get deeper and deeper and more fully expressing your purpose.
Beautiful. Well said.
This is an interesting one for me because I've been thinking about it a lot, right? And as we go through life, like, things change about like our direction and where we're focused and where we want to be. Like, I think our gift is what was given to us to achieve a purpose. And I think that oftentimes we're not using it the way that we should. And I think we get course corrected through life over and over again and hit over the head until we finally listen and use that gift for the purpose that we were intended for, right? And so I think that's why you see a lot of shifts in where people start and where they end up, and where they, when they find something that's truly leveraging their gift as much as possible to achieve the impact on the world that it was meant to have. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, somebody might know what their gift is and not feel called to leverage it the way that they should, and, you know, chase money here or do this other thing, or, you know, I know I'm really gifted at this, but I don't want to do that, or I don't want to be that, or I don't want to be that thought leader. You know, I'm not ready for that. I don't want people to look up to me or whatever it is. And I think that, you know, if you're putting yourself in a state where you're listening, that you'll start to see that that knock's not going to go away, right? Yeah. So you got to get in line with it. Like, or you can fight it forever, but that's that life doesn't tend to be smooth in your favor. You know? Yeah,
like, God or the universe is going to continue to present challenges and knock you upside the head enough times until you wake up or you're dead.
And you're like, fine, I'll do it. Fine, I'll do it.
Well said. Love it. Love it. So, Jeremy, where can people get plugged in? What resource should we plug in for people to learn more about it? Agency Coach, obviously Funnel Hub, and all the things
that are going on. Absolutely. Actually, we set up a page just for your listeners, David. So if you head over to agencycoach.com/David Simons, you'll
David
find
it. David D. Simons.
It both will work. David D. Simons or David Simons will make sure both work, doubt. We've set up a couple things on there. If you're an agency, we've got a lot of amazing goodies for you. Sometimes, remember we talked about the different phases before, depending on where you're at, you need different things. Like, some agencies, they need leads, right? So if you need leads, we've got you covered there. Some agencies, they need systems and processes. If you need that stuff, we've got you covered there. A lot of amazing stuff for agencies. And if you're looking to ultimately own your life because you own your agency, definitely check that out. If you're an expert business, if you're selling your knowledge, if you're doing webinars, if you're doing things like that, and the little bit we talked about Funnel Hub today, I know we didn't have a lot of time to go into that. We've got a training that'll talk more about it and give you kind of the perspective and share what that's all about. We've got some resources for you there as well. But also, I think our contact information will be on there. So AJ and I, like we said before, we're open book. We love talking to people. If you're like, I just want to ask these guys another question, just reach out. Like, we're just human beings like everyone else listening to this. So we're approachable. Come chat with us. We're here to give, and that's our purpose.
Beautiful. Love it. We're going to plug all of that in the show notes. Gentlemen, this has been tremendous. I know I gained tremendous value. I know the listeners are going to. Thank you guys for sharing your gifts with us today. Truly appreciate you.
Appreciate you so much.
Thanks for having us. It was really fun today.
I searched all over the world, struggling to find it. Dear listener, I would like to thank you so much for listening to How I Discovered My Gift with yours truly, David D. Simons. As a token of my appreciation, I would love to give to you my most important piece of work to date, and it's called the Purpose Gift Tape. It's a motivational mixtape geared towards helping you to identify your gifts, which ultimately lead to you discovering your purpose. This is a 6-track album I poured my heart and soul into. It includes beautiful beats, an amazing spoken word over it, and I'd love to give that to you as a free gift, as a token of my appreciation for being a part of the community. So to get your copy, all you need to do is go to podcast.daviddsimons.com. That's podcast.davidsimons.com, and get yours today. Thank you for being a listener. I'll catch you on the next episode. How I Discovered My Gift with David D. Simons is proud to be of the amazing and illustrious Alive Podcast Network.